بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. حضرت عبد الله بن سلام رضی اللہ عنہ was the most leading Jewish rabbi hailing from the clan of Banu Qaynuqa. And Rasul Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam arrived at Medina Munawwara, he was in his orchard plucking some fruit for his family. And when he got to know about Rasul Pak's arrival, he left everything. So now I must go and attend to this first. Everything else then put it on hold. I need to go and see this myself. He saw Rasul Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says that the first look I knew, laysa bi wajhin kadhab, is not an imposter, not a liar. First glance. The world in this day, in the words of Shaykh al-Hadith Muhammad Zakariya Sahib rahmatullah alayh, they are not in need so much to bayans and to literature. They're not so much in need of that. In his words, the greatest need of the hour is the right application of deen. That's what they want to observe. They want to see that alright, we talk about Islam, but can you show us a practical demonstration of Islam? Of the Islam that you're talking about, is it practical? Is it applicable in current times, in all departments of life? Is it possible? So that's what they wish to see. So he also wanted to see Rasul Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam personally. He saw from the conduct of Rasul Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is the man. Many a times we are beguiled, we are deceived when we look at the oratory skills of a person, the way he comes out and the way he impresses the crowd. Whereas inna minal bayani la sihra, bayan mein bhi jadu asar hota hai. Many a times the bayan has got a magic effect. How a person comes out, there's a magic effect on the audience, right? So sometimes people get affected just on account of a bayan. And Allah Ta'ala warns you about this. مَنْ يُعْجِبُكَ قَوْلُ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. There is the person whose words impress you. مَنْ يُعْجِبُكَ قَوْلُهُ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. He talks about things pertaining to this life. Or in this life, when this person is talking, then it really impresses you. The way he carries himself, eloquent, well-attired, well-presented, arguments are all very much in place, right? So he carries himself too beautifully, articulate. That sweeps you off your feet. You get carried away. وَيُشْهِدُ اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا فِي قَلْبِ. And added to all this, he calls Allah Ta'ala to witness over what is in his mind. Something in his mind, and he calls Allah Ta'ala to witness. But Allah Ta'ala says, وَهُوَ أَلَدُّ الْخِصَامِ. He's a very quarrelsome kafir. Very quarrelsome, he's a kafir. But outwardly, how he conducts himself. So, how careful we need to be. Imam Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. So he was Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh's representative in India. And he would say that in India, you all listen to him, Imam Qasim Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. Hadi Sahib's instruction. the likes of Hazrat Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullahi, if there any spiritual thing to refer, they would refer to Hazrat Maulana Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullahi. Even matters in fiqh, they would refer to him. So then anybody stands a chance. So he shows the importance of Maulana Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullahi. He shows the importance of listening to a shaykh. Got a whole discussion. And he says, فَإِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَا يَتَمَسَّلُ بِي. Someone's seen Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the dream, then really he's seen Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, because Shaitan cannot appear in the appearance of Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And the reason is given is that a Rasul is Mazhara Hidayat. You see, different people, they display different attributes of Allah Ta'ala. An attribute of Allah Ta'ala, but you see the attribute of Allah Ta'ala manifest in this person, for example, in beauty, so he's a reflection. Like in light, the sun is a reflection of the grandeur of Allah Ta'ala, of the glory of Allah Ta'ala. Just a minuscule reflection. Why? So that you understand what it is all about, right? So, for you to understand, then Allah Ta'ala draws certain examples, gives you some life examples. Yeah? You see beauty, and you get thrown off your feet. You know? You get mind-boggling, right? Mind-boggling for someone for the first time, and the picture is just imprinted in the heart, and you can't obliterate it. Yeah? It's so difficult. And it's not really difficult. I was explaining to someone that it's not a difficult thing. We think that the picture is imprinted in the heart, and then how do we eliminate the picture? So, wherever there's a crisis, just remember, the Quran Sharif will show a solution as well. There's a crisis here, there's a solution. There's a crisis here. So just within those lines, you will get a solution as well. So Allah Pak says, lower your gazes, right? Now he knows, he's the creator, right? He knows what the gaze will do to your mind. How your mind will capture the picture, and then how that becomes like an unforgettable thought or a memory now. It's in your heart. We have seen it in school days. 50, 60 years have passed. But now you can't get to obliterate it. You can't wipe it out from the system altogether. So he's made you. If he's made you, then he'll find you the solution. But then look for it and you'll find it. So he discusses this whole matter about the glance, right? What levels of precaution, kullu minati yahududna min absarihinna. And then he closes the whole discussion. وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا أَيُّوَ الْمِنُونَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. I saw it in two places, right? Here and Allah Pak speaks about wealth, right? لَوْكَانَ لِبْنِ آدَمْ وَادِمْ مِنَ الذَّهَبْ, right? So where man has got a whole valley of gold, he'll aspire for the next. And then nothing fills the belly of Adam's children but the sand of the grave. And it ends up, وَيَتُوبُ اللَّهُ عَلَى مَنْ تَابُ. But if you make tawbah, then Allah Ta'ala will look at you favorably. So one is for wealth, right? Wealth and aspiration and greed never comes to an end. For one car, now this is, that is days now. And what about the next car? One house and a holiday house also, you know, stuck up here in Spingo Beach, constraints and very restricted movement. We need to have an open space. Can't be restricted like this. So the mind will go on driving you. So in the case of wealth, it will drive you. In the case of woman, it will drive you mad. It won't leave you. Here also it won't leave you, and here also it won't leave you. And in both, here he says, وَيَتُوبُ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ مَنْ تَابَ, and there he says, وَتُوبُ إِلَى اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا أَيُّهَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Both is rounding up the whole problem with tawbah, right? That means, when you're struck with this, then instead of you employing your own mind, then turn to Allah Ta'ala. Turn to Allah Ta'ala with all your heart, all your soul, show your dependence, show your helplessness, and you see, tubu ila Allah, and wa yatubu Allahu ala man tab, you will turn your heart entirely to Allah Ta'ala, then He will look at you favorably. What seemed to be impossible just now becomes a reality. How is it impossible? How is that picture ever going to be blotted out? And then it just became a reality, that became a joke. Feel so nauseated when you think about it. And before that, you know, you couldn't wipe it out of your system. But now, it's so simple, right? So both places Allah recommends this. Tubu ila Allahi jamian, and wa yatubu Allahu ala man tab. Now, I just brought in the statement of Muhammad bin Goy Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi. So, he's quoted the hadith. Man ra'ani, faqad ra'ani, fa inna shaytan la yatamassalu bi. Who's seen me, he has seen me. Shaitan cannot come in my appearance. Right. So that's the hadith. Why he can't come into the appearance of the Rasul? Because the Rasul is a manifestation of guidance. He's an embodiment of guidance through and through. From the head to the toe, from the night to the day, from the illness to the good health, from the youth to the old age, from the quiet moments to the open, the socializing to the intimacy, in everything, the Nabi is a total embodiment of Hidayat. Everything of His. Therefore, Allah Pak wants an unconditional obedience and allegiance to Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Why? Because He's seen Him through and through. Nothing of His can mislead. So, in the same token, then he says that the sheikh to his murid is also the same, that the passages of shaitan are locked up. How? Because the sheikh in a community is equivalent, is likened to a nabi to a community. And a nabi is a mazhar hidayat. A nabi is an embodiment of hidayat. Personification. Hidayat through and through a nabi is. Right? So, when the peer is like a nabi, then seeing him or following him, inshallah, will be hidayat. Why it will be hidayat? Because now shaitan can't come in his appearance. He may come in some other great person's appearance, but in the appearance of your sheikh he can't come, because he is like a nabi to you. He is like a nabi to you, then now shaitan can't come in that appearance. Right? Amas explains this and he says, that is why the mashayikh emphasize on tawheed matlab. You got one sheikh, just listen to him. Give yourself to him and then listen to him. Give yourself to him and then listen to him. In this way, he says, the pathways of shaitan will all be demolished, broken down. Otherwise, what will happen? He gives an explanation. What will happen otherwise? Otherwise, in every situation, there can be a lot of probabilities and a lot of possibilities. This could be a possibility. This could be a solution. This could be the meaning. This could be an exit. This could be a way out, right? So when there's so many possibilities to every situation, then your mind will wander in different directions. When your mind is going to wander in different directions, then I ask you, can you become the victim of your nafs and shaitan or not? See that? one hadith, and there can be so many possibilities, so many probabilities, so many interpretations, right, so many applications. And your mind can go to different applications, right? Now just a simple example, right? Just to make us understand, right? An Ansari Sahabi was interested in a girl, and he mentioned, he confided in Rasulullah Sallallahu and Rasulullah asked him to go and look at that girl, right? Says, because perhaps you'll see that girl, and something in her will strike a chord. When it strikes the chord, then you should be making a good future. Something struck the chord, right? You were seen, and you were struck with something, and that will be the continuity, right? Now, under the hadith, now this ulama are giving various interpretations that go and look at her, fanzur ilayha. Right? In looking at her now, there's so many interpretations. One is, they're saying that you can only look at once. Bi ala wajhin ta'ammul, la ala wajhil lazza. Ala wajhil ta'ammul, yata'ammalu fi mahasiniha. That you can look at her just to ponder, right? Not to take some nice feelings. What a samosa this man. What a run. No, not that. What was that intention? The intention, all right, this beauty is appealing to me. This beauty, I can live with it. I want to live with it, right? So that's nazr ta'ammul. But now the nazr lazzat is a different thing. You are looking just to take some type of sensual pleasure. That's not right. Now that's one interpretation. Then they are asking, can you look for the second time? And most of them say no. You saw once, enough. Then there's a third discussion, and which parts of her body can you see? Oh, there's some very way out interpretations. Uzai gives something else, and you won't want to hear it. He's saying that you can look at the entire body, you can look. Right. So the interpretation they are giving, and then you have to say this is an isolated opinion, and you can't go by it. Why? Because it's an isolated opinion. Now, then it will bring you, or it comes back to the mainstream. And then you come onto your stream. Now, when you left every other stream, you came into the mainstream, and from the mainstream, you looked into your line, right? Now I ask you, is there a possibility for shaitan to come and attack you? Is there a possibility for the nafs to have the better over you? See, so you restricted the roads of shaitan to come and smash your path. So, but that required some restriction, right? And man doesn't want restriction. He wants, hey man, let me be free now. There is a hadith for this, and there is a precedent for this. So let me go with it now. Don't come and jam me up. He doesn't want that. But now if you want the roads of shaitan and the roads of the nafs to be broken down, then you'll have to. See, the whole explanation of Allah bin Ghaisa Rahmatullah, how beautiful it is, that you want it, you'll just jam yourself. Initially, it would seem a little bit difficult. Now, hey, there's so many things I could have done. But now from all the probabilities and the possibilities I've left all, I've come on to one, and now, you know, I've restricted. So there's a lot of benefit in it. 2 days ago, in fact yesterday, so before the Jummah, the students will come and sit, right? So one student wanted to know, what is jazb and what is suluk? What is jazb and what is suluk? Right? These are terminologies, right? And when students are asking, you should give them your attention. Right? So they came, and then Friday is like a heavy day. Right? I'll come in sometimes 8 o'clock, sometimes slightly earlier, sometimes slightly later. But from then sometimes, or many a times, from then till just azan time, and I'm jammed up, right? One person is coming, one person is going. One person is coming, it's business that day. Business is heavy on that day. To make shukar also, Allah is giving you business. Someone is asking about deen, someone is taking deen, someone is... So the question they asked was, jazb and salut. So I explained, see, Allah blesses everybody with jazb. What is jazb? Now jazb is some level of attraction. So, initially, when you coming onto the path of righteousness, then Allah Ta'ala gives you an attraction. The attraction will feature in different ways. Sometimes your du'as were crying. Sometimes you want to get up for tahajjud. Sometimes there's a strong urge to come early to the masjid. Sometimes you want to recite Quran Sharif. And you got the concentration. And things are just working out, you know. It's just like passing through soft butter. And it's just working out. So that was an attraction from Allah Ta'ala. And many people encounter that at the beginning, right? The beginning you get that, you get a lot of it. It's called jazb. And you need it. We can't say we don't need that attraction. That jazb is like the child that is being initiated to school, right? So the mother gives lollipop, a lunchbox, some juice bottle, right? Some sweets, some toy, right? So how good school is, eh? When I go to school, I get a sweet, come back, get an ice cream, and then after that, I got some toys. So the child feels motivated, right? He's attracted. So Allah Ta'ala gives him an attraction. He gets that. Sometimes he gets a dream. He gets more excited. Now he's read tahajjud namaz. So all the attraction comes, much of it comes at the beginning. Not that the attraction is not there afterwards. No, attraction is afterwards also. But here it is perceived. There it's subtle, and in the beginning it is perceived. Making dua, it's crying, you're crying. You ask for something, you're getting it. The things are just working out for you, right? You wish for something, things are just working out. So these are all divine assistance, right? And the divine assistance is tilkal al-pabun yurabbihi yurabba bi atfalu suluk. Children are coming up now. Again, a tarbiyat, right? So now that's called jazb. And the jazb, I say, remains all the time. It's not that the jazb will totally crash. Afterwards, then you may not perceive it so well, but it's there. It's not so distinct. When I say so distinct, you know, like imagine now, you didn't have a right vision. Vision wasn't right. Your sight was blurred, so you had a nice thick glasses, right? But then you went for a laser treatment, right? Now you began to see things in perspective, right? That was for the first month, 2 months. After that, then it becomes like normal. But the first 2 months, you see, you know, especially if you didn't have a pair of glasses, what it was then and now it is now. In 2 months, you know, you say, hey, what sight I got, what vision I got now. I didn't have that all the time, and what I do have now, right? But I say after 3 months then it becomes like normal. So you will not say now that the eyesight has deteriorated. Now you have become quite familiar with it. Before it was a novelty, now it's a familiarity. But you can't understand, you can't differentiate between a familiarity and a novelty. You think now, why I don't have the same excitement? So the excitement is just for a short period. So don't expect that excitement to be there all the time. Now you get this also in youngsters. Just showing you some examples that you can relate to what I'm saying, right? Like a person is now 35 years, 36 years, and he's got into marriage when he was, say, 23, 24 years of age. Now he's 35, 36. Then he comes complaining, well, I don't find the same novelty, the experience, the excitement, the high, and what he used to be doing, and how. So I say, thank Allah Ta'ala, you don't have the same excitement. He's afraid now that now I'm so old, 35, 38 years of age, I don't have the excitement. Maybe the bonding or the love has deteriorated. No. So, you know, it's not an indication that the bonding and the love has deteriorated. No. But now, the bonds are greater, so you don't feel those moments of excitement, thrill and emotion, high and low and all. Because you don't have to do any more investigations and discoveries now. Everything has been discovered. The hills and the valleys, the rivers and the lakes, everything, you've seen everything now. Right? So you don't need to make any further discovery. Right? You went through the thrill, all is gone, right? But now it's a different phase of love. That was the first phase of love, excitement and thrill. Right? This is a different phase of love. It's understanding and affinity, right? So it's a different phase. One you may call as shok, right? And the other you may call uns. But they are different flavors of love. See? This one flavor, this is another flavor. But your love hasn't been affected, hasn't deteriorated in the least. You feel that it's affected, it hasn't been affected, it's still the same. But it's just a different flavor. And when we say it's a different flavor, understand that the affinity has grown now. Before it was an excitement, now it's affinity. So what's the difference? To understand the difference, just ask your wife to go to a mother's place for 2 weeks and see how you feel. Can you sleep all right? Yeah? Can you see? Just for 2 weeks only. Give her a 2 week holiday. Can you sleep? So you can't sleep. Why? The affinity. See, you may have thought, you know, hey, but there's no excitement and all that. But just let her park there and see what happens to you. But there is an affinity. There is a bond. But it's a different phase of muhabbat. And I say that this second phase is even greater than the first phase. And it is also great that you don't have the excitement and the thrill when you are that age, 35, 40, 45. Bukhari Sharif was explaining the boys. Now it's a fashion in the final year and the fifth year to get married, right? So I don't stop them now. I'm thinking now, better than them looking at pawns and all that, now they get married and divert the energy in the right place. So you see what's here, what's happening, what's cutting here, there, all that. It's settled, right? They may see what will happen to ilm. There's some people that are attending to it. Or you get settled, don't get yourself experimenting in haram. So, coming back now, see, for many people, it's better, right, at that age, 35, 40, 45. So, we're explaining his hadith, you know, the khalaqakum min nutfatin, right. And then he's explaining, yustakhraju, sulalatim min ma'in mahin. He's explaining that sulala, what it refers to, it's something extracted, right? So where it's extracted from? It's extracted from the entire body. The human seed is extracted from the entire body. And because that seed must have the potential of bringing up another human being. Right? So it has to have the potential to bring up another human being. So that seed will have to secrete some chemical from every part of the body. The limbs, the organs, the eyes, the ears, etc. It has to secrete that, make it into a seed, and then it's implanted into the womb, right? Now when it's to be secreted then, understand, then that amount of secretion is coming out from your head, from your eyes, from your limbs, etc. So now, young boys, and they want to overindulge. Zara thora sa, thori si hiddat a gayi, shabash shab kar rahe. Little bit of heat, they were going to experiment. Little bit of heat. I said, why don't overindulge? And there's two problems with that. Because one problem in overindulging is because the secretion is coming from the entire body, then you'll become weak, you'll become old before your time. Because it's an overload. Taking out, and you take out more than what reserves your body has got. Right? That's a problem. So you'll get weak, your organs will become weaker before the time. Now you want to say, no, take Viagra, all these things there. unnatural things, something will bear the brunt of it. Some organ will bear the brunt. So one thing is just getting clear. The second thing is when you're going to overindulge, then your wife also will come older before her time. Every now and then. Again, insan ho, shiryani. You are a human being, you are a bird. The bird can, 20 times a day also is alright. Make up your mind, but you are a human being or a bird. Bird, life is short, and if you can carry on like that, it will carry on. Your energy must be reserved for a higher goal, right? Now, if all your energy is sapped out, and here, just in pleasure, then have you got enough stocks now to do Quran Sharif, Zikr, Tilawat, Mutala, all that? Have you got, right? If you're tired, you'll relax, because that energy that has been used has to be rebuilt. So much of energy was used, right? So in the rebuilding, you have to eat so much, you have to sleep so much, so that energy that was lost will be replaced. So when there's a real urge, it's a burning urge, right, go, finish, khalas, end it up. I remember in 1980, 81, Hazrat Rahmatullah came up for the last time, right? 81, yeah. So one musalli, he told me, Hazrat, you know, I want to speak to Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali, but I can't express myself in Urdu, so you must do the interpretations. Alright, I said, maybe some halat. So he began to ask about intimate things, right? Wife is not giving him access for 4 months, for about 2 months in a row. So Hazrat Ji asked him, aapki umar kitni hai? What's your age, bhai? So he said about 44. He said, for you, once in 4 months is enough. And had I known that this was the question, I would have done the translation. But he said, you know, I need to speak to Hazrat Ji rahmatullahi alayhi. So I went like an innocent thing, and alright, Azadji has to be, I need to help the person now. Let me go and help him. And this was a discussion. Isubba's place in Vellum. Then upstairs went there. And this person here, this Chacha, he's late already. But then he also overused himself. Because I could see, at the age of 55, he was finished. He is dragging his feet, can't walk, struggling for breath. So, you got to overuse yourself, this is what happened eventually. And people think, oh, just enjoy yourself. Just take off. Just burn. So anyway, we're coming back to Gangoi Rahmatullahi and the statement that he had made, right? And then I showed you the importance of Tawheed Matlab. And Tawheed Matlab, I understand it to be nothing different, no different to Taqleed. That was my opinion for at least about 20 years. And now I found exactly what I was thinking, I found the kitab, that Tawheed Matlab is equivalent to Taqleed. If Taqleed is important, Tawheed Matlab is important. If you want to bypass Taqleed, then you want to fall into the snare of Shaitan. If you want to bypass Tawheed Matlab, you will definitely become a victim of Shaitan. Shaitan over service. I've seen people that were great, not ordinary people, great people. And I saw them moving away from Tawheed Matlab. Like I saw great ulama, great Shaykh al-Hadith, right? And I saw now, sitting with them, interacting, close, but now they moved away from Tawheed Matlab. When they moved away from Tawheed Matlab, and not only people, great people. But from the talks, etc., you could see and identify they moved away from Tawheed Matlab. So one of two things became very apparent. One is either they fell into the snare of Shaitan, or they became a victim of wasawis. One of the two things happened. Definitely happened. This waswasa, that Shaitanic thought, this thing is coming, that is coming. So to close the door, that was the solution. But now their intelligence, their reasoning had the better over them, so they didn't want to get into that. So when you didn't want to get into that, now this hadith got five mahamil. It got so much of mahamil, it got so many so many interpretations. What's wrong if I take this interpretation? This statement can also be explained in this manner. So what's wrong? So now, when your mind is so open, then can you keep yourself restricted to one? And when you can't restrict yourself to one, can't you become a victim of wasawis? Now, to close the door of wasawis, Hazrat says, this is the solution. You'll jam shaitan. Shaitan won't interfere with you now, nor in your advanced age, nor at the time of death. He can't come and interfere, because now you're stuck on one. And he can't come because of the hadith I said, يَتْلَا يَتَمَثَّلُ بِي, and how I explained that a sheikh in a community is like a nabi in a community. Allah gives him that type of good, he gives him. But now, you've taken him as a pillar of hidayat, right? So when you've taken him as a pillar of hidayat, now you won't go off. But provided you gave him that level of commitment then. But you didn't give him that level of commitment, then it could be a sheikh ul hadith, it could be a mufti sahab, then whatever, but you will definitely fall in the snare of shaitan or wasawis. One of the two things will happen to you. Foregone conclusion. See the nafs. And what a subtle, what a discreet, how it can work, how it can trap you. So we are talking of Abdullah bin Salam radiallahu, and was plucking fruit, and just then he hears of the arrival of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Right? Now he also is looking for Tawheed matlab. So before he can make the commitment, he's asking some questions from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why? So that his mind may be totally settled. His mind may not wander around. But you know, what about this? What about that? So before he made the commitment, now he's got his mind totally captured. Now the mind will not bluff him, will not deceive him, will not beguile him. So he asked Rasulullah Pasan three questions. Right? What is the first portent, major portent of Qiyamah? Rasulullah Pasan gave the answer. Fire that will hurt people. Right? Long hadith itself. Right, he got it right, conforming to the scriptures. Right. Alright, what is the first food of the Jannatis? Za'idatu kabidil hoot, right? A portion of the liver of the fish, right? Portion of the liver of the fish. So that is the first food of the Jannati after Hisab Kitab, inshallah, right? Then the third question he had asked, that why does a child resemble the mother at times and sometimes resemble the father? So when the human seed is being lodged into the uterus, right, when it's being lodged, if it is that the male seed lodges itself first, then the child resembles the father, right? So it's called all conformation. See now, what he's done. What he's done for himself, he's blocked the pathways of shaitan. My mind is clear. He knows about Qiyamah. He knows about this world. Right? He knows about Jannat. So the man has covered everything. So my mind is at ease. But now he's also concerned, slightly, everybody has a little fickle concern about the reputation. Right? What will people think? And it mustn't happen that Rasulullah Paksan has a negative opinion about me, right? So, he asked Rasulullah Paksan, you see, my qawmun buhutun. They're up to nonsense all the time. Jewish community is always up to nonsense. My friend was working in a big company, international company, right? So, all big people working. Government, okay, or big people working there. So now, the one above him was an Afrikaner, sort of the 1980s, 1990s, Afrikaner. So the Afrikaner just had some discussion with a Jew. But the Jew was fed up and made a noise and he went away. Just then this friend of mine pulled in to talk to his boss, Afrikaner. So the Afrikaner is saying, you know, these people, they're talking Afrikaners now, there's people here. They got demons fighting them all the time. And it's a fact. It's a fact they got demons all the time in them. The shaitans are working so strongly in them that they can't see the right. You know, yesterday I was reciting from Surah Alif Lam, you know. I'm looking, hey, this is the wrong of the Jew. Again, this is the wrong again. This is the wrong again. Sometimes they're putting away Anbiya alayhi salam. Then they're distorting the word of Allah Ta'ala. Then they are making a mockery. بَدَّلَ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا قَوْلًا غَيْرَ الَّذِينَ. Then they witness the miracle of Musa alayhi salam, but they had the heart to go and worship the calf. So everything is a mix up. Now, there was a Jewish conference in Israel, right? So the MP is saying, we are a cursed nation. Well, when I read that article, the MP is saying, in the parliament, saying we are a cursed nation, right? And it didn't sound fascinating to me, because Bukhari Sharif has got that. I think the Sahabi's name was Zaid radiallahu anhu. Zaid or Sa'id ibn Zaid, right? So, before Islam, he's looking for the right religion. He met up with one Jewish rabbi, that was like a reading rabbi at that time, and he says, you know, I'm looking for the truth, I'm looking for Judaism, for the truth. He says, you're going to be on Judaism, then you will become also, you'll have to receive some portion of the wrath of Allah Ta'ala. So don't come into Judaism. Who is saying? Rabbi. And the parliament now, 2 weeks ago, they discussed and said, we are under divine punishment. Match the words. What he said and what is being said now. He went to a Christian priest. He also said, we are under divine curse. He testified that we are cursed. He also testified. And now in the parliament, they said, we are cursed. So, they of their own mouths are saying they are cursed, right? But then I'm thinking to myself, the curse, the effect of the curse is so bad. It's so bad. They know they are cursed, then why aren't they looking for the truth? So that answer came to mind, you know, I'm looking at Surah Baqarah, looking at them. But all that, they got the heart to say, Qulubuna Hulf. Says, you know, our hearts, well preserved. No alien thing can permeate our heart. We are why? We are well preserved. Our hearts will only take this, what's good. Allah says, that also is a result of a curse. But la'anahumullah. You're saying that your heart is well preserved. No, it's not well preserved. It's the effect of the curse of Allah Ta'ala that your heart doesn't want to receive the truth. Can you see that? Allah says, nobody can say that, you know, I'm alright. Now, I wanted to continue on this topic here. But in the morning, there are so many queries about this Palestinian issue and what the ulama are doing. What are they saying and what they are doing? Can't you give us some guidance? So, it's not an interesting subject now. It's 4 months now. But whether it's interesting or not interesting, Islam is not about interesting. Islam is about the right thought and the right application, the right belief and the right application. Whether it sounds interesting or disinteresting is not to do with interesting, is not to do with anything else. It's understanding it right and applying it right. Right? The first greatest misdemeanor we have caused to ourselves is we have subscribed ourselves to the media or to any other information, whether it's a right source, whether it's a wrong source, whether it's a mix-up source. Very seldom can any person say that, no, this source is absolutely 100%. Can anybody say that? So, no, this is the chances in this is great, Hamas or Qassam Brigade, whatever, right? But how reliable, how authentic? So that is the one thing that we need to understand, how authentic, how reliable. Is it absolutely authentic, reliable? Compared to all this, is the word of Allah Ta'ala, unaltered, unchanged, and transcending time and place. It's not restricted to time, persons or place. So that's the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one is to be glued to the news, right? Now and then you heard something good, thrilling, alright, it picked up your morale, it's alright, no problem. But now otherwise, we are getting glued to this thing here, and most people, morale is just breaking. Becoming despondent, morale is breaking, and the reason for this is you're subjecting yourself to information that is not totally verified. You cannot say with total confidence that it's verified information. Someone can post an emotional scene, you know, child lost his hands, lost his eyes, and some one, two words that are touching. And what happens to the woman that is watching that clip? What's happening to her? She's distraught, she wants to curse, she doesn't know what to do, sometimes she's becoming despondent, depressed, right? But I asked you, who forced you to go and see this thing here? You went and seen this thing, so you became distraught, you lost your hopes, you lost your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you lost sight of the system of Allah ta'ala. What is the system of Allah ta'ala? When Islam is true, and Islam must prevail, وَكَلِمَةُ اللَّهِ هِيَ الْعُلْيَا, Allah ta'ala's word will prevail, right? وَاللَّهُ مَعَكُمْ وَلَنْ يَتِيرَكُمْ أَعْمَالَكُمْ, Allah ta'ala is with you, right? So now, on the one side is this news. So the news sometimes is distorted, sometimes it's mixed up, sometimes it's not reliable, sometimes it is to create some despondency within you, right? Sometimes it is to appease you. So it's a different game altogether. And you don't know what's going on. So now, one is this, and one is the directive of the Quran Sharif. One is this, and what's going to be your possible reaction to the situation. So your reaction will be either innovated or invented. Innovated, sometimes you're demonstrating, you're protesting, you're boycotting, right? And then the boycotting also will be selective, right? Whereas there are about 10 countries that are jointly fighting Palestine, right? India, America, England, all are fighting together. And some Arab countries as well, all supporting, right? Then I ask you, when you're boycotting, are you boycotting all of them, or are you selective in your boycotting? So then, what's the wajah tarji? You know, the kitab say, there must be a wajah tarji. Otherwise, tarji bila muraji is khilaf akhar. Khilaf qiyas. Why? Preference to one, for no apparent reason, when the crime is similar all round, then why do you have a selective approach? Why? So I say, sometimes it is innovation, sometimes it's an invention. If it's an innovation or an invention, then it's got no guarantee. Yes, if it is the word of Allah Ta'ala, then it's guaranteed, unconditional, it must work. Alright, then the question will be then, what is the command of Allah Ta'ala under the circumstance? A lot of things happening, you're hearing a lot of things. So under the circumstance, what is the directive of the Quran Sharif? See, one is the Quran Sharif says us, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها, do what you can do. So obviously for a normal person to get into Palestine is like impossible. Normal person, you access the normal routes, is like virtually impossible. So in that regard, you can't do anything. Yes, the second option is, you can send some aid that everybody will encourage. The person that's got the lowest level of iman, you encourage, support them financially, right? With ideas or financially. There's a second option, and this option, we can go for it, right? We can go for it. A beautiful idea, some type of financial assistance, some type of assistance in some form or the other, right? That's the second. The third thing is what the Quran Sharif has recommended. This also, what I'm saying is all recommendations from the Quran Sharif. Third thing is, Look at the Bani Israel. See the Bani Israel stories in the Quran Sharif about 29 times. 29 Sipara, 28 Sipara, everything about Musa alayhi salam, Bani Israel. So, why? If it was just for a story purpose, then once it was sufficient, but why did Allah Pak have to repeat this approximately in 29 chapters of the Quran, 29 Siparas of the Quran Sharif? Because in the Gospel there is a verse, will send a prophet unto them like unto you. Like we send a Nabi to the Bani Israel, will send a Nabi to them, to your brethren, right? Will send a prophet to your brethren, that means Bani Ismail. Like we send a Nabi unto you, like the Bani Yaqub or Bani Ishaq. So there's going to be a lot of similarities. So what's happened to them will happen to you. Now look at it now. Similarity between you and the Bani Israel. Now they are in a crisis situation, far worse than what's going on in Israel presently. That any child, and he's just born, and his head is chopped off. You see, يُذَبِّحُونَ أَبْنَاءَكُمْ. He's born, and his head is chopped off straight away. So you can imagine the merciless atrocity of the Coptic, of the Pharaohs at that time. What was going on? So their hands are tied, they can't do anything. And this was just based on a dream that Pharaoh had. Pharaoh had a dream that a fire is coming out from the Bani Israel and is destroying every Coptic, every Egyptian's home. So it was obvious what it means, that someone will come up from the Bani Israel and he'll finish the Egyptians. He'll wipe out the Egyptians and he'll rule over them. So now, the easy way to get this sorted out is destroy the men. When the men are destroyed, then there'll be no rulers. Can there be any rulers? And they also knew it at that time. In spite of them being the Pharaohs of the time, that a woman's place is the home. Right? Didn't they understood it? Otherwise, they should have been killing men and women altogether. But why they selected only killing men? Because they knew. Now a clip is going out of Mona Vankasab, right? Everybody knows about it, right? That New Year's Eve and the promenade and our girls. He says, I took a drive there and I saw our girls drunkard. This clip is going on everywhere. It's making its rounds. Most people know about it, right? That our girls, he found, he was there, he says, I found them all drunkard, right? And then he says, even worse was, when someone told him what goes in the Gabbanas is even worse. They're drinking and they're fighting. Joburg and Durban girls, fighting it out, busting it up. You Joburgs and fighting it out. The hotel manager, he's being embarrassed. See, you know, Muslim people behave like this. Right? And the manager is telling them, see, we're selling all haram here. Don't eat of this. But they're carrying on. Then someone told Maulana that what goes in the high school and the university is even worse. High school and the university is even worse. So then I got to find out from someone what they mean by, you know, even worse in high schools and universities. They're drinking openly, and then they're losing themselves a little bit. They need to make pisab. So in front of everybody, they take out their trousers and making pisab. So that woman is reduced to a beast, isn't it? Beast also makes pisab anywhere. So she thinks, I'm an animal, so what's wrong? Animal behavior, I got the same thing, they got the same thing. So let me make pisab in front of everybody. So now, I say, if anybody got the heart to encourage girls' education, right? So, for a moment we won't stop him, but the right thing, insaf, justice, would mean that he gives the full picture. He gives the full picture. He says, alright, you can go, but this is what goes on in a university. The 98% of the girls is what they do. See, the New Year's, they're busting it up, they're drinking. In the schools, they are drinking. They open up the trouser, and they're peeing in front of everybody, right? So tell them the whole story. Otherwise, that girl, one day she gets into her senses, then she'll say, you know, you were unfair. You gave me the one side, no, you go there, you'll be a Muslim doctor and whatever else, right? But the other story, that you'll become a drunkard, you'll sell yourself, you'll make peace out front of everybody, that story he didn't give. So I ask you, was it right for the person to just be one-sided? Did he give a fair impression of the school or a selective? And that girl, one day she comes to a sense, you know, I messed myself up because of this person's inspiration. And the inspiration that they were given was, you can go, but you must have some ta'aluk or some ulama, you know, some righteous ulama, and go there, right? But now, that doesn't blend in. See, going there with a ta'aluk or the ulama is not a security, it's not an immunity. It's not an immunity, right? You know, in the 1980s, we had one chacha here, O.V. Chacha, right? But a very balanced man, very intelligent, very balanced, Naman Chacha, but very well read in Gujarati. He'll speak Gujarati and read better than us. He would teach us Gujarati. Although he came from a Devar background, but he'll teach us Gujarati. But very balanced, very calm. And he was like one of the pillars of the masjid, of the top masjid. Just behind the imam, on the right side, that was his place. Right to the end, right? One, two of the pillars of the masjid. So, sometimes he'll get some Gujarati magazines and he'll read from it. So, I remember the one article he's reading. This segregation is so important, you know, segregation. And integration is so dangerous, that article read. Whoever is talking about integration, he doesn't understand what he's talking about. Because it's like taking butter and leaving it on a stove and trying the butter, discipline yourself, don't melt. Is it ever going to be happening? Huh? And if someone says, you're melting, you're going to melt, right? You're going to melt. And the third person says, no, you're being judgmental now, man. What's wrong with you? You can't be judgmental. So, will you listen to the judgmental story? Because you know, that thing is going to come in the stove, it's going to melt. Men and women are going to be joining up, integrating. And to say now, to give them a wrong picture, misleading picture, just join up and nothing will happen, right? I ask you, is it fair for you to encourage them and not tell them what's going on? You know, how you're selling yourself, how you're drinking, how you open your satar, you're peeing in front of everybody, where a non-Muslim would come in to say, oh, you know, your slum guys, man, your girls are all up to nonsense. Do we deserve that? That they have to come and tell us these things. This was, the part of it was more Vankas. I'm just relating it because his talk went out, right? But I'm just completing the story with this O.V. Chacha's story. If it's not complete, then you gave that child, you misled that child. You misled that girl. You didn't tell him the full story, what's going on. So they took half the story and they sent the child. And then when this bust up happened, now they're crying, but you know, but why weren't we apprised in the very beginning? Why was a selective story was given to us? Why not complete story given to us? Give us the complete story. Then we know that our bearings are right, our understanding, our analysis is right. Otherwise, give you half story. So now we're coming back to this Palestinian story, right? So now with all the controls that Fir'aun had, all the controls, right? I ask you, وَتَمَّتْ كَلِمَةُ رَبِّكَ الْحُسْنَى عَلَىٰ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ بِمَا صَبَرُ. You see, by Allah Ta'ala, everything has to reach a certain point before that nusrat, that help, has to rush in. So, تَمَّتْ كَلِمَةُ رَبِّكَ الْحُسْنَى عَلَىٰ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ. They completed that. Sabr. وَجَعَلْنَاهُمْ أَئِمَّةً يَهْدُونَ بِأَمْرِنَا لَمَّا صَبَرُ. So they had to pass that examination of endurance, of stability and firmness. Endurance, stability, firmness. Then, the help of Allah Ta'ala ushered in. Can you see which was the time for the help of Allah Ta'ala ushering in? Now then, what happened? One man, and the whole Egyptian royal Jamaat is giving him all the royal treatment. With all royal colors, spoiling, bringing him up with all respect. And the one man then topples the whole country. So when you did your side, Allah Ta'ala got one person, and you brought that man up with all the respect, with all the love, with all the care. And he has somersaulted you. But now, ثَمَّتْ كَلِمَةُ رَبِّكَ الْحُسْنَى عَلَى بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ بِمَا صَبَرْ. Because of your endurance, your stability, are you fulfilling your test? Your endurance, your commitment, your firmness to your deen, are you doing it? Or you're asking now, when, مَتَى نَصْرُ اللَّهِ, when is the help of Allah going to come? Can you see that, right? Alright, that's one side. But until that help of Allah Ta'ala comes, then what are we supposed to be doing? Right. I showed you the one side, what you can do and what you're supposed to be doing. What is an invention or innovation. But now, until that comes, right, because we are a single body, al-mu'minuna ka jasadin wahida, we are a single body. When you are a single body, then as a single body, what are we supposed to be doing? Can we rely just on invention and innovation? Or is there a divine prescription that we have to commit ourselves to? So, if there is, then what is the divine instruction? What is Allah's instruction under the circumstance? Right. So, under the circumstance, that I pray, checking regularly, I'm seeing again, again and again, إِسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ. You ask Allah Ta'ala's help through stability and firmness and through salah. Ibrahim alayhi salam is moving with his respected family, the Sarah, right? And the Egyptian king apprehends them and he wants to be intimate with his family, Sarah alayhi salam. The hadith says, Ibrahim alayhi salam made wuzu and got into namaz. See, his hands are locked up, like we, our hands are locked up. Can you do anything now? Can you see the similarity? Identical, right? His hands are locked up. 10 people are coming with guns. Can you do anything? So they got the wife. And what happens to a man at that time? Can you imagine the level of sincerity at that time? So what he did? Made wuzu, called his namaz. There, that person that was trying to interfere, he got into a whole stroke. Body is now all motionless. He can't do anything. And he's asking, make dua. Just reverse the whole thing. The whole story. But what was the solution? Istaeenu bis sabri was salah. Namaz. Rasulullah iza hazabahu amrun faziya ila salah. When he would be confronted with the situation, then he's rushing towards namaz. Bukhari Sharif, we got this story about 12 times, or more than 12 times. Right? I saw about 12 times, could be more. About Juraj, right? So he had dedicated himself to ibadat. What is monastery or something, and he dedicated himself to namaz, zikr, etc. Right. In the meanwhile, one loose woman tried to seduce him. He chased her out. She, when I did something with the shepherd, got a child, and she made a false allegation that this child belongs to Juraj. So when the Bani Israel heard this, they came and broke, they demolished the whole priest town. So all he did, he got wuzu, made namaz, and this child that was born yesterday asked, Man Abuk, who's your father? Arai, the shepherd is not. So when they saw this, now they amazed, hey, this man here, a miracle, 1 year old, 1 day child, and he's speaking out so clearly. So they wanted to reconstruct the whole place in gold. No, just as it was in mud, just restore the place as you had destroyed it. But all these three incidents are showing you what are you supposed to be doing. Then I asked some ulama, some professional people, some business class, right? Tell me the truth. How many of you applied the Quranic prescription? Right? Number one. How many of you, right, dedicate yourself to the news, media, etc. How many hours? And how many minutes you gave in dedicating yourself to making wuzu properly and crying for the ummah with two rakat namaz? Did you do it one day in two rakats? Did you ever do it? Then where are you? Are you anywhere near the Quranic prescription, or are you far away from the Quranic prescription? And then when you didn't apply yourself, and then you're asking, Mata Nasrullah, when is the help, divine help, going to reach us? Are you fair in what you're doing? Are you thinking rightly? Is your analysis right? Right. Then, some days ago, I thought, alright, you know, how we can do this thing, how we can do it in an organized way. So, alhamdulillah, there are a lot of hafizes, right, and there are a lot of people who can recite the Quran Sharif. Can't we make it like this, that if it's, say, hafizes, right, we've got about four or five hafizes, or six hafizes, right, and we make that six hafizes make a khatam every day. You five, next five, then you rotate. So your khatam is done every fifth day. His khatam is done. You know how you work it out, your khatam is done, right? And in one joint time, one common time, then we raise our hands. If you want to get more concentration, switch off the lights. Make dua, maybe in Arabic, English. And then at least for 5 minutes in your own language, cry. Cry. At some joint place, after Maghrib, after Asr. After Asr, you can't make the nafil namaz. Or after Zuhar, or whichever other suitable time. But five hafizes, if they get together and say, no, from now we'll do this. This is our contribution, the least we could do, our contribution to our brothers that are suffering there on that end. Otherwise, can you force yourself a Muslim? The Quran Sharif prescription, nobody is applying, but you're asking, generally, you're asking, Mata Nasrullah. Are you right in your reasoning? And the Quran Sharif is saying, Istaeenu, draw my assistance. And I showed you three hadiths just now, how they drew from the treasure of the aid of Allah Ta'ala through Salah. Five hafizes can do it. Non-hafizes, maybe, if they can't finish the whole Quran, so I said, alright, we read about two siparas, one sipara, five of us, right? Every day, right, we read one sipara. You take quarter, 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 or one sipara, do five sipara. After that, even reciting the Quran Sharif and making dua, the dua is the answer. Right? Can't we do this for our brethren on that end of the world, that five of us get together, right, one sipara or half a sipara. At the end of the day, we did about two and a half sipara or five siparas. And then one common time, we cry to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Can't we do that much? And if that also is too difficult, we can't get five people like-minded, then can't just two or three of our household, you, your wife, one child, or if that's not also for you and your wife, can't you just sit down, cry to Allah Ta'ala, read two rakat namaz, cry to Allah Ta'ala, a little bit in Arabic, a little bit in English, and a little bit on your own, you cry to Allah Ta'ala, my brethren. And who knows whose tear will reach the throne of Allah Ta'ala. You are an individual, right? But how long does it take for the tear to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Now if all the Muslims around are all doing the same thing, right? Istaeenu bisabri wa salah. It's very unlikely that nothing will happen. But we're not doing. So karne ka kaam hai, wo to koi karta nahi. Hey, giving it, you know the Jew boys, how are we giving it? 5,000 they finished up and 10,000 tanks they finished up and all. Bhai, so jaate raho bhai, jaane do. Jo kaam karne ki cheez hai, kya tum usme lage bhi ho ya nahi? What you need to do, are you doing these things? What you need to do, are you doing it? Two rakat namaz, cry to Allah Ta'ala. I say, you don't have to have a big jamaat, five people, three people, two people, right? And the worst case scenario, one person, read the two rakat namaz, cry to Allah Ta'ala with your heart and soul. Allah Ta'ala tawfiq nasib kare.